You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is episode 137 of Transmissions from Atlantis.
Yes.
And we have a huge show for you this week. It's huge.
Huge.
It's huge.
It's huge. Well, for our rapid fire, we got Universal cancels The Dark Universe, which is sad. We've got Disney trying to buy 21st Century Fox. Amazon developing a Lord of the Rings TV series. We've got news on The Orville, The Last Jedi trailer, DC's Shazam, and Thor Ragnarok. Wow, that's just rapid fire.
That's just rapid fire. Then, our main topic this week is Stranger Things 2.
And we are coming to you from the Upside Down.
That's right, and loving every minute of it. It's going to be a very, very fun podcast. Of course, we have a Doctor Who segment, as we have every single week. And this time, we have a lot to talk about, because the 13th Doctor's new look has been revealed. And by the way, she ain't the only one that got a makeover.
That's right.
Hmm.
Doctor's daughter is coming back, but not in the way you think.
That's right. And what does Chris Eccleston think of the new Doctor?
Hmm.
And do we care?
Hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and get going with Rapid Fire. Grrr. You like my pearls?
Grrr. No, don't do that.
Meh. All right, rapid fire. Let's start off with Universal cancels The Dark Universe.
This makes me sad.
Yep, because apparently with The Mummy kind of crashing and burning, at least in the United States, even though it was one of the most profitable movies of Tom Cruise's career, it apparently didn't do enough for Universal to want to continue The Dark Universe.
This would have been so freaking fantastic. Frankenstein, you know, Dracula. The Wolfman.
Well, think about that. They had Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man, which to me is kind of stupid because you have Johnny Depp. Why would you want him to like not be in half the film?
Yeah.
That's really stupid. And of course, they were going to do a Creature from the Black Lagoon remake. Really? Maybe it's better that they canceled it.
Yeah, so, I don't know. All right, so next up, Disney is trying to buy 21st Century Fox, which means the X-Men and Deadpool movies can be brought back into the Marvel
Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Hmm.
Now, I understand why they want to do this. And in some ways it would be cool, but in some ways it would not be so cool.
Why?
Are they going to, I mean, what would, if Disney gets the rights to all of this, what would they do to Deadpool? Deadpool is supposed to be crass and totally rated R.
Well, I mean, it's not like Disney's never had an R-rated movie before. I mean, not under the Disney banner, but Marvel, you know, has had some crass movies. And think about it. Logan was R-rated, although that's Fox. And then Deadpool's R-rated. Well, that's Fox, too. Hmm.
You see what I mean?
Well, they might just keep the Fox brand for the R, you know, rougher edge movies, but still bring those characters into the cinematic universe and also exchange, you know, characters.
You don't think that maybe they would remake all of X-Men?
They could. They might. You never know. And not only that, I think they also get the Fantastic Four. Isn't the Fantastic Four also Fox?
Is it?
I believe so.
Huh.
And we just don't remember because it sucked. But, you know, if they could revive the Fantastic Four and for the, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe Part 2 or whatever, when they cycle out, you know, Iron Man and Thor and all those characters and bring in all these other new characters, I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it would be cool. All right, so next up, Amazon is developing a Lord of the Rings TV series.
Great. So we're going to see 13 episodes of walking and walking and walking and walking and walking.
I don't think we're going to see as much of the walking as more of the things that happen in between the walkings. There was so much that was still left out of the films, even with the extended editions.
Wait. You're telling me that there is stuff left out of 5-hour-long films?
Yes.
I don't want to see more.
I do.
Jeez.
But what can I say? I'm a Tolkien fan. I love that. So, for some people, the thought of a Lord of the Rings TV series, they're like, eh, or God, no.
Yeah, that's kind of
where
I'm at.
I'm like, ooh.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of like, I really don't want to see Frodo walk for 2.5 seasons. I really don't.
I think there's going to be a lot more involved than just that. All right, next up, The Orville has been renewed for a second season. Yay!
What do you know? Fox didn't kill a great show.
Right?
What do you know? It's amazing.
Oh, wait a minute. What happens if Disney buys Fox? What are they going to do with The Orville?
They'll keep it.
I hope so.
And by the way, the deal for Disney does not include the Fox Broadcasting Network because they already have ABC. And because they have ABC, the anti-monopoly laws won't allow them to have two broadcast networks.
Oh,
so, interesting. So it's only for the movie studio.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yep.
All right, so The Last Jedi trailer has dropped, and oh my god.
Yep, oh my god. It was pretty awesome. I still think that there is stuff that supports Dark Luke, and there's stuff that supports Dark Rey.
Well, yeah.
All I can say is they've done a really good job at trolling the Star Wars fans with these trailers. And Mark Hamill's been just as bad
with his Twitter feed. He loves the fans, but he also loves to troll the fans.
Oh, yeah. Like his one tweet that he sent out where it's like, all the villains are always in the back of the poster. And, of course, the latest Last Jedi poster showed...
has him in the background.
Luke Skywalker.
Big face of Luke Skywalker.
Dressed all dark and in the back of the poster, right? Yeah, so it looks absolutely amazing. I'm so excited to see it. I can't wait till next month to see it.
And we know Finn wakes up.
Yeah, obviously, because he's in it.
Yeah. So. All right, so DC's Shazam.
Shazam!
You were waiting to do that, weren't you? to star former Chuck star Zachary Levi.
Which movie?
Shazam.
Shazam!
Really?
Shazam? Yes. So, Zachary Levi as a superhero. I can see it.
Eh.
No?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Why not?
Shazam?
Shazam!
Oh, Lord. Are you going to do that every time?
Hell yeah.
For me, that's not exactly one of the most memorable superheroes.
Are you kidding me? He was awesome in the 70s and in the 80s. He was Shazam!
Okay, Thor Ragnarok.
No, Shazam!
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yes. You mean the buddy comedy?
That was awesome.
Yes, so we did get to see Thor Ragnarok this past week, and I liked it. I thought they went a little overboard with the slapstick. I thought they tried too hard to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think I enjoyed it more because it was a little bit more Guardians of the Galaxy.
I didn't.
And you know what? I think they might have done this on purpose so that there can be a crossover between, you know, the Thor universe and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
See, I liked a moderate amount of humor. And that's another thing is Guardians doesn't go overboard with the humor either. But I mean, when Thor is throwing this ball against the window to try to break the window and it slaps back and hits him in the face with a slapstick, Laurel and Hardy. you know,
it was a little much. I loved it.
It was a little much. It was a little much.
No, not for me.
Yeah, it was a little much. But overall, the movie was fun. I enjoyed it.
Kate Blanchett as Hela.
She was hella good.
She was hella good. And man, she was looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because Kate Blanchett is getting on in years a little bit.
Bite your tongue. She's still beautiful.
Of course she is. I'm not saying she's not. But she looks, you know, really, really good for her. You know,
she's
for
like
her
Alex
age.
Kingston. She doesn't age.
I know, right?
Yep. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to say that I like the movie. It wasn't my favorite of the Thor movies, but it was entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
I love that how Hulk came out and Loki was like all scared because he remembers the last time he went against Hulk. And then when the slapping around started happening to Thor, and he's like, that's how it feels.
That was funny.
You know what? One of the things I really enjoyed about this film was how Thor and Loki finally understood each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finally realized that they're going to be who they're going to be.
Yep.
And they could either just accept it and move on and maybe have... not necessarily a relationship, but at least not be trying to constantly kill each other.
Oh, no, they'll still do that. Come on now. That's what Thor and Loki are. Loki is the god of mischief, so there you go.
Yeah.
And not only that, I also liked a lot of the unexpected cameos, especially at the beginning of the movie. We're not going to give it away because it wasn't really shown in any of the trailers of what the cameo was, but... if you stayed for the end of some of the other movies in Marvel Universe, you got a little preview of the beginning of Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
And it fit well. I mean, it fit really well, and it was funny. You know, like, the whole movie was funny. And there were some really entertaining moments with the interaction of those characters.
Yep, I agree. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was... I really didn't mind the humor at all. I thought it was fantastic.
And I will admit that every time they played the Led Zeppelin song, it juiced me. I mean, it was like, ding, 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 yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that shit. That was awesome.
They did it twice.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it the second time.
It's like, okay, they did it once. That's great. Then they did it again, and we're like, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it the second time. That was pretty awesome. So what would you give Thor Ragnarok?
I'll give it an 8.
An 8?
I mean, I love the humor, but like you said, it's not my favorite. I mean, my favorite Thor film was probably the first one.
Yeah. I'll give it a 7, just because the humor was good, and it was funny, and it was enjoyable, but it grated on me a little bit. I thought they went a little bit overboard with it, and they could have done more with less as well.
Oh, and we need to talk about Jeff Goldblum's character.
Do we?
Jeff Goldblum's character, I think, was just Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's character was Jeff Goldblum, and that's about it.
He called himself by another name, but he was Jeff Goldblum.
It was Jeff Goldblum doing Jeff Goldblum things. That's what that character
And that's not a bad thing.
No, we love Jeff Goldblum, but that's basically what that was.
All right, and I think that does it for Rapid Fire.
Coming up next, we talk Stranger Things.
This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood... Myopia Defend Your Childhood is so named because I believe we are short-sighted on the things we watched as kids. So every week we watch a movie that one of the panelists grew up watching and see if they hold up from comedy to cartoons or to action. And for this season, the last Thursday of each month, we're doing a TV show in our Myopia Mornings segments. We watch Saturday morning cartoons and afternoon classics. So find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. How will you stand when we put your past on trial? Myopia Defend Your Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting.
right, so Stranger Things 2 debuted Halloween weekend, and, man, this show is just absolute freaking perfection.
Yeah, Stranger Things 2 was better than the first season.
And that's saying something, because...
Because season 1 is phenomenal.
It's fantastic, and then you have season 2 be better than that? I didn't even think that was possible.
Right?
No, but I mean... you know, Millie Bobby Brown's amazing as Eleven. She, the way that her character just evolves through from not only season one, but throughout season two, from the beginning to the end, when she becomes bitchin' Eleven. I mean, it was amazing.
And this will be a cosplay for next Dragon Con.
Bitchin' Eleven, absolutely.
Bitchin' Eleven, and Jason's gonna be Hopper.
Yeah, I'll be Hopper, but. Because I think I probably fit Hopper, even though I'm not anywhere near as tall as him. But
yeah,
still.
You don't have to be tall. You just have to have a beard.
Yep. And so, and I loved Hopper's development, too. I mean, Hop was an actual really important and great character.
He's not the only one who had some really great character development, though.
Who's that?
Steve.
Steve, yeah. Remember Steve from last year, folks, where Steve was just the douchebag? This year, he's still a douchebag, but he's not... the douchebag, you know, and not only that, he kind of mellows a little bit, and he's not as much of a jerk, and he actually is kind of cool towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, his character development was really amazing. Nancy, on the other hand, I think her character development went down the tubes.
I don't know about that. I mean, she was all right.
Yeah, she didn't really have any development.
Well, the problem was is that, you know, you introduced the two new characters of Billy and Mad Max. And they're going to take a lot of the screen time away from, you know, some of the other regulars. You know, Nancy's story arc was really just about her and Jonathan.
Yeah, about bringing down the man.
And bringing down, and
Hawkins' lab.
And bringing down Hawkins' lab, exactly. But overall, I mean, the season was absolutely unbelievably fantastic. I loved every second of it. I hate that it's only 9 episodes. It drives me crazy. But there was one episode that kind of was the outlier. And I personally think it was the reason why there was 9 episodes instead of 8 episodes this season. And it is the sister episode.
Yes, that's episode 7, if I remember.
Correct.
And that's the one where we meet...
8.
Where we meet 8.
Yeah.
And I think the whole point to that episode and the few minutes that we see her at the beginning of the season is to help set up the next season. Because I think we're going to be seeing more of her for sure.
And I think you're right. I think at some point we may see all 11 of the lab folks.
Well, we might not see them all, but we will at some point find out what happened to all of them.
Well, here's my theory. And it's a crazy theory probably, but I think the end game for Stranger Things is all of the Hawkins lab kids... come together, and they're the ones that defeat whatever the big bad is on the Upside Down.
That is a cool theory, but I have a feeling that some of those 11 kids are probably no longer living.
That may be true. That may be true.
Because remember, many of these kids were experimented on, and some of them probably did not survive.
That could be true.
But overall, this season was just amazing. We got to see more of Will's character.
Mm-hmm.
And the troubles he was going through, and man, that little kid plays demented very well.
Oh yeah, and some of those scenes where he's demoning out or whatever. The way he was contorting his face. I mean, I don't know if they actually did some kind of CGI work with it or something, but if not, man, that kid can contort his face like nobody.
He can go creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of scary.
I mean,
stuff.
That is some great acting. From him.
You know, there wasn't as much Mike this year. Mike was kind of took a back seat to Will and to that whole kind of storyline.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. In the first season, Will's missing. Mike, out of all the four boys, Mike and Will are the closest. So it makes sense that, you know, Mike is going to be on the forefront. But now Will's back. We have Hopper dealing with 11, and it makes sense that Mike takes a little bit more of a backseat.
Mm-hmm.
While on the other side, Lucas was making a little bit more appearance than Mike did. I mean, he had a little bit more character development.
And you know, one thing I will say is if you know how in sports there's like a most valuable player or you know, comeback player of the year, something like that. if there was a most valuable player for season two of Stranger Things, I have to say it was Lucas, because his character completely did a 180 from the first season. I couldn't stand Lucas in season one.
Yeah.
I thought he was the annoying kid, you know, and that's one of my pet peeves about watching our films with kids in them, is sometimes they can get annoying as hell. Take Elliot in E.T., you know.
Yeah.
Elliot is annoying as hell because he's a dumbass. And to me, Lucas was kind of the Elliot of season one. And he was so much better in season two.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Billy and Mad Max's characters. I think with Mad Max, the only reason she was even there is because since Eleven was out of the picture for most.
They needed a female representation for the kids.
And
yeah.
They brought Billy in because they were making Steve less of a douche, but they needed a douche.
They still needed a douche, and by Billy being a douche to Steve, that kind of made Steve less douchey.
Yeah, I mean, as stupid as that sounds, that's exactly what happened.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about the future of Stranger Things. So the brothers that created the series have stated they have a four-season story arc for Stranger Things. So
yes.
It's going to be four seasons. This is season two, so that means we're going to get two more seasons of Stranger Things. And one of the things they talked about was that there may be a time jump from this season to the next season because, frankly, the kids are hitting puberty and they're shooting up and they look a hell of a lot different than what they did even just last season. So they may actually jump in time from 1984 to maybe like 1988 or 1990.
Well, it does make sense because, like you said, the kids are growing and they're growing quickly. From season one to season two was already almost a year in span from, you know, between the story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide to jump a few years, I can see them getting away with that.
Yep. Oh, well, they can definitely get away with it. And not only that, I mean, if you really think about it, one of the problems that they have with Stranger Things is because they're kids and because they're changing, you either have to do the time jump or it's just not going to fit right. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I mean, in a way, look at Game of Thrones, for example.
Yeah.
Arya's character.
Yeah, Arya looks like she's 25 now,
right?
Probably because she is.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, it's starting to look a little weird because, you know, if anybody's read the books, the space in between what happens in the first book to, you know, the most latest book
is just a few years.
Or even less.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they've aged this much is, you know, questionable.
Yeah. And so they have to deal with that. The only thing that scares me about doing a time jump, the 80s are such a part of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That if they go too far in the future, I think that hurts the show in that you don't still have that novelty 80s feel where, you know, Hopper can't just jump on a computer and look up the information. He actually has to go to the public library and look at microfiche. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, I mean, if they want to jump 1 to 2 years, that's one thing, but still keep it in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important that they don't jump too far out, because I think that would be a problem.
Spoilers.
All right, so not to give too many spoilers out, but demidogs.
You know, I was talking to you about this the other day, was that I thought it was odd that there was demidogs. Because the Demigorgon was, you know, something that looked like the demidogs, but it was much larger, and it stood on 2 feet.
And then I was the one who suggested that maybe the demidogs is the forefront to the Demigorgon. Maybe, you know, they continue to, you know, molt and grow, and maybe they eventually
turn
become
the
Demigorgons.
Yeah, maybe. And what do you think the shadow monster is? The Mind Flayer, I guess.
Yeah, the Mind Flayer. I don't know, but I know we haven't seen the end of him. We know he is a very smart, very sentient being. This isn't the Demigorgon. The Demigorgon was just a monster who had satiate his hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he did. He just went for the kill. But the shadow monster, on the other hand, the Mind Flayer, is an intelligent being who knows how to manipulate, strategize, and not exactly an easy foe to deal with.
Yeah, I think the guys had said that the Demogorgon was an allegory to Spielberg's Jaws. Basically, it smell blood, go eat things.
Yes, you know,
that's basically exactly what the Demogorgon was. While this creature was, like you said, it had an intelligence, and it had a goal to destroy this particular universe.
It almost reminds me of Xenomorphs.
Well, it had a Xenomorph-like feel to it, you know, especially the ending scene when, you know, Eleven is doing what she's doing to try to save the day.
And some of the shadow.
Some of the shadows looked like straight out of Alien.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, there were scenes that they lifted straight from Aliens. Straight from Aliens. Like the scene where, you know, the Demi dogs are attacking all the scientists that had gone down to the pit thing. That was straight from Aliens. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we love it. We love it because all of this Stranger Things is an homage to
so
everything that we
things.
Love from yeah. the '80s.
So many of the things we loved from the 80s.
Even Goonies.
Yep.
Goonies played a huge part of season two.
Well, I mean, they've always said that, you know, their big inspirations are Spielberg and Stephen King. So both of those two elements are always going to be the backbone of Stranger Things. But you can also see so many other things. I mean, they even had references to Ghostbusters, not just the kids wearing the Ghostbusters
yes.
outfits, but actually pulling lines straight from Ghostbusters. You know? I mean,
And you love it because you recognize those lines as yes. soon as they say, and you're like, I remember that.
And that's the thing, though, is that a lot of people take it as, oh, well, they're stealing this stuff. They're, you know, they're not being original.
No.
But I love it because
they're honoring the 80s.
And not only that, if I was writing a story like that, I would throw those references in, too, because that's the stuff that I grew up with.
Exactly. They're not stealing the stuff. It's an homage to the 80s. It's what it's meant to be.
Yep. So, I mean, I don't even think we have to rate this, but I guess we'll go ahead and rate it. I'm giving it an 11.
Okay, I'll give it an 11 as well.
Yes. And, you know, the kids, all of them are fantastic. You know, the entire cast is fantastic. Winona Ryder is fantastic. Oh, my God.
Spoilers.
Sean Astin as Bob.
Superhero Bob.
Superhero Bob.
We love you, Bob.
Oh, man. One of the most
tragic,
endearing characters that turned into such a tragic story at the end.
I know.
Yeah.
I think it had to happen that way.
It did. And to be honest, I think that kind of clears the way for Hopper to get with Joyce. But that's just kind of my thought on that. But, yeah. And now Hopper is Eleven's dad. Spoilers.
That's right.
Yep. Which I think is great. So, that's going to do it for Stranger Things. Coming up next, we talk some big, big Doctor Who news. Coming up next.
The Terminus Doctor Who podcast brings you passionate geekery that's often effusive, sometimes loquacious, but always full of love for the world of Doctor Who. Armed with a queer woman's perspective, you can look forward to the show covering both the new and classic series, as well as other forays into the so-called Hooniverse. So please check out the Terminus podcast for your dorky dose of deep discussion. All, of course, brought to you with a fun side, because as the Fourth Doctor once said, there's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes. So head on over to terminus.libsyn.com to find the podcast. The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer, opinionated, Whovian, female.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
No! No! When I say no, you turn back around! Hey! I'm gonna be dead in a few hours, so before I go, let's have this out, you and me, once and for all. Winning? Is that what you think it's about? I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing this because I want to beat someone. Because I hate someone or because I want to blame someone? It's not because it's fun. God knows it's not because it's easy. It's not even because it works, because it hardly ever does. I do what I do because it's right. Because it's decent. And above all, it's kind. It's just that. Just kind. If I run away today, good people will die. If I stand and fight, some of them might live. Maybe not many, maybe not for long. Hey, you know, maybe there's no point in any of this at all, but it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it, and I will stand here doing it till it kills me. You're going to die too. Someday. What would that be if you thought about it? What would you die for? Who I am. It's where I stand, where I stand. It's where I fall. Stand with me. These people are terrified. Maybe we can help. A little. Why not? Just to the end. Just be kind.
All right, folks, you know that music. It's time for our Doctor Who segment.
Doctor Who! Ooh-wee-oo.
Yes.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Got it out of your system?
Ooh.
And some big, 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 big news for Doctor Who.
Okay, we get it. It's big.
It's big. The 13th Doctor's new look has been revealed.
Mork from Ork.
It's not Mork from Ork.
It looks like Mork from Ork.
It does not look
but
like Mork.
But that's a compliment.
Ork. It's not a compliment. I mean, you know what I mean. I like the new look. I think it looks cool. I think it takes a few of the elements of each of a lot of the Doctors of the past. You know, like the little stripe on her shirt kind of looks like the Fourth Doctor's scarf, or maybe even 60s multicolored jacket.
The boots are very Matt Smith.
Very Matt Smith. The coat is very Tennant, you know.
And, or even Peter Davidson. Or no, Sylvester McCoy. A little bit. Maybe.
I think the suspenders are probably more Sylvester McCoy.
Overall, I like her new look.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have already started complaining that it looks a bit mannish. But you also need to remember the Doctor has been a male up until this point. So you would assume that her personality isn't going to be 100% feminine.
And not only that, let's think about this. How long have we waited for a female Doctor? Do you honestly believe that this is going to be her only costume? It may be her main costume, but I sincerely doubt it's going to be her only costume. And
she's a woman. Of course it won't be.
Of course it won't be. Not only that,
she'll have lots of juice.
She can't exactly wear that into the past. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, she's got to, you know, she's going to have to wear some stuff that's, you know, period appropriate. So.
That's right. Because, you know, the Doctor was able to get away with a lot of things because he was a man. But as a female, if she goes back into the past, that's going to be a little different.
Right. And if you think about it, even Capaldi's Doctor would dress for the part when he went back into the past. He would wear a long coat. He'd wear a hat. You know, he'd wear all kinds of different things. So
that's true, because remember the Frost Fair.
Yeah, exactly. So I personally think that, yes, this might be her main costume, but I don't think it's going to be her only costume. And I think we have a lot more to look forward to in regards to what Jodie's going to be wearing.
And the Doctor isn't the only one who got a bit of a makeover.
The TARDIS looks vastly different than what has been with Peter and with Matt's TARDIS.
Yeah, so everything has changed from the sign in the front. The St. John's stickers gone. The windows are different.
The colors are darker.
Even the lamp up top is a little...
From where it used to be, down lower.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
So if they did that much difference and change... And another thing I kind of like about the new look of the TARDIS is it's weathered again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just like when Eccleston and David had theirs.
Exactly. It looks a lot more like David Eccleston era, or even earlier on Classic Who era.
Yeah.
Than it did when Matt went with his nice clean blue look. You know, I never really bought that. I never really cared for that all that much.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I mean, it was okay. Don't get me wrong, but
it was too clean.
It was too clean. Yeah.
So speaking of Eccleston.
Yes. So. Eccleston actually was interviewed, and he actually talked a little bit about Jodie Whittaker becoming the Doctor, and he is thrilled about it. He said that Doctor Who absolutely needed to reinvent itself, and that Jodie is somebody that is a long time coming, and she's a brilliant actress, and he thinks that they couldn't have made a better choice for the next Doctor. And so, high praise from Christopher Eccleston. I'm in agreement with him, of course, you know, because we all are excited about Jodie coming. I just don't know. It's been 10 years since Chris Eccleston has been in Doctor Who, and he's kind of, let's face it, disowned Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so while I respect his opinion, I don't know if it counts as much as, say, you know, David Tennant or, you know, Matt Smith's opinion or even the classic Doctor's opinions, just because... they still appreciate Doctor Who for what it is, and they love Doctor Who, while Eccleston has never shown that.
Yeah, it's like after he left, he just didn't appreciate, you know, his time as Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I guess.
And, you know, there was one line that was in the article where they asked him, you know, why don't you do Doctor Who conventions? And he was like, well, you know, I'm not somebody that really does conventions. I like to work for a living.
Really?
Yeah, he said that? Yeah, that's what he said.
I hate to tell you this, you know, Chris, but going to conventions is work.
And not just that, I think what he meant was he likes to be a working actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, but you're a working actor and you're getting paid to act because you have fans who enjoy watching you.
Yeah. And not only that, I think that all of the actors that come to the conventions are still working actors.
You know, yeah, it's not like they're not working or not filming. I mean, heck, a lot of times some of them have to cancel because of scheduling conflicts.
Right.
But with that particular line, it just sounds like he doesn't really care about the fans.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of a little bit of a douchey comment from him, but very conceited, as if he's too good to go to conventions kind of thing. So, like I said... While I respect Chris Eccleston's opinion on Jodie and Doctor Who and the future of Doctor Who, I don't know if his opinion counts as much as, say, a David Tennant.
Yeah.
Now, we did have a death in the Doctor Who family this past couple weeks. Dudley Simpson, who was a composer for classic Doctor Who, he passed away, unfortunately. I believe he was in his 90s. And he had some of the classic Doctor Who scores where he did sci-fi and obviously with Doctor Who it's sci-fi, but he did a lot of different films and things like that. But mostly he was well known for some of the classic scores of the McCoy era and some of the earlier era Doctor Who's. So it's a tough loss for the family. It's, you know, think of it, you know, for us, you know, since we're more into the modern Doctor Who, it would be almost like Murray Gold passing away.
Yeah.
You know, so thank goodness that hasn't happened. But, you know, so a lot of classic Doctor Who fans are, you know, very into Dudley's music. And unfortunately, he has moved on.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, our condolences to his family and friends.
Yep. And to end this up on a brighter note, though, Jenny, the Doctor's daughter, is coming back, but in audio.
Big Finish audio.
And it totally makes sense to me. Totally. I mean, what better avenue for a Georgia Tenet to reprise her role than being in Big Finish? I mean, other than being in the show, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really, really cool. And there's a lot of Big Finishes we need to catch up on, but I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of the Big Finish lines, I mean, they've done a lot with the companions now. You know, there's a lot. I mean, they even did stuff with some of the classic companions. So I personally think that this is an excellent move by Big Finish. And, you know, there was always that question, what happened to Jenny?
That's right.
So now we get to find out.
Because she's a time lady.
Yep, she's totally a time lady. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We hope you enjoyed our Stranger Things discussion, Thor Ragnarok. Coming up for our next podcast...
Shazam!
We may actually talk Voltron.
Oh, yay, finally!
Of course, we're going to talk Murder on the Orient Express and preview Star Wars The Last Jedi. Because it'll be right around the corner when we have our next episode. Right?
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe. You don't know.
You don't know. All right, folks, that'll do it. Allons-y.
Allons-y.
Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.